She's today's woman. Busy, confident, in control of her life.
Including my weight, thanks to Dexatrim.
Caffeine-free Dexatrim caplets contain the non-prescription appetite control ingredient doctors recommend most.
I lose weight because I'm not hungry, and Dexatrim's caffeine-free. I feel good about that.
Just one caplet works from morning to midnight, during meals and in between.
I don't feel hungry all day, and the weight comes off.
You can lose weight, feel great, with today's caffeine-free Dexatrim caplets.
Sounds good. February 1990, and Daryl Strawberry enters rehab for alcohol abuse. Exxon is indicted on 5 criminal counts over the Valdez spill. And over at Starlog Jam, you heard that Voyager 1 took a photograph of the entire solar system. But where did they take it? Now, you don't care about all that because you've been chasing after Lucky Star, Balthazar, Chompy Pancake, and Pancake 2, aka PC2 the Pancakening, all the sweet puppies from Magnum's recent drop. Oh, did you notice that's only 5 names instead of 6? Well, that's because bad news followed bad news, and your alleged brother, whose name is allegedly Eric, and I guess always has been, said that right after the neighbor went missing, so did the 6th puppy, the one you'd already named Papaluppa and was your favorite because he was the smallest one and had some breathing issues that made him even more adorable. Now, there are all kinds of ways to address this latest mystery, scandal, injustice in your life, but we all know that the best way is to haiku, so, oh, Papaluppa, where did you go, my sweet dog? Eric is not real. Maybe it's time to forget about your woes by soaking in the world's bigger problems like beauty pageants and divorce. Maybe find some trucker fanfic to confuse you in the bath. That haiku was pretty good. Maybe it's the right one to send to this lifeline of elder advice you've got in your hand. That's right, it's time to
Listen to Sassy.
Oh no, Papaluppa.
Papaluppa. Sounds like an Italian candy.
It does.
You buy at the store, at the weird candy store in town. What the hell? Papaluppa. Oh, my teeth.
I'll try it.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Before we get into this issue / episode / first episode on a new issue, we are actually recording this in time to tell you that our April watch along is this Friday, April 21st, starting at 9 p.m. ET. We are going to be watching She-Devil, the Meryl Streep, Ed Begley Jr., Roseanne, when she was still Roseanne Barr, I think, vehicle, based on the novel by Faye Weldon. This is a perk that is exclusive to members of our Listen to Sassy Club, which you can join for only $5 to get this perk and a whole bunch more. So go to listentosassy.com/club for details, including the Zoom link if you're already in the club.
Why can't devils just be women? Why do it have to be She-Devil, Tara?
That's a great question and kind of something that the movie explores, if I recall correctly. Oh. We read that book. I read it in college. Mm-hmm. I was in a women novelist class that lasted the whole year, and it went in chronological order. So it was one of the last books we read in, like, March. I still read it, unlike some of my classmates who are real lazy.
I mean, there's no movie called He-Witch.
No, there is one called Warlock, though.
Julian Sands. But I'm just saying.
That's right. All this and more can be yours for $5 when you join our watch-along She-Devil. Get fun facts. I'm going to learn that She-Devil was a book good enough for school. I had no idea.
Yeah, it changed quite a bit from book to film. So we can discuss that too. Shall we get into the issue?
Mm-hmm.
Our spine line is love is a dog. What could that mean? Stand by for more.
Exciting about feature number one, it's not a bummer.
They did us a solid this time. It is 4 of the sassiest girls in America. Karen is the one who did the write-up. This is, of course, the time when they are naming sassiest girl in America number 2. They had to push it a month because there was no standalone January issue, as we certainly discussed. And I forgot they did home visits for this one, like Tim Gunn used to do for runway finalists. We're down from 6 girls the first year to just 4. And maybe that's why, that they had to road trip among all of them and go to their towns instead of just meet them all in New York. Karen went with, as Pam noted, Dawn the friendly photographer, who took a lot of teeny tiny shots from the towns.
But also, Dawn the friendly photographer is not how anyone should be or want to be introduced or just known as. That's no AKA.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
So So our first girl is Sunita Barua. I believe that's how you pronounce it. And I'm guessing because I didn't meet her in person and her entire family. Karen did and still writes, "I'd tell you how to pronounce that last name if I could," which isn't cute. Hey, you were spent at least a whole day with them and apparently stayed in their house. Like, maybe learn how their name is pronounced and write it phonetically if you're going to talk about it. Sunita considers herself Indian and even speaks the language, Karen writes, which, you know, India, famously, there are a lot of languages spoken there. And as I already said, they stayed at her house, which is crazy to me. Like, this is really a big imposition for two strangers from New York.
That's why there were six, but only four in this article.
I guess.
Two families were like,
no.
His name is what? The friendly what? No. Stop writing to magazines. You're grounded.
Yeah, they're in like a fairly large town in Michigan, you know, like stay at a hotel. They have them. Stay at a Motel 6. They're inexpensive. But anyway, she wants to be a doctor. You can read the whole write-up if you join the Listen to Sassy Club. I'm not going to get into all the details because there's so many. Next, Kelly Feltman. I certainly found her Pinterest based on her pins. I think that she is probably Kelly with an IE Feltman.com. We learn that she only started getting sassy because she had subscribed to some other publication, which they don't name, that folded, I guess, before they could start sending it to her. And then she started getting sassy instead. I really did research it, but whatever it is, it was like lost to time. It was like made no ripple in culture, at least in the pre-internet era. She takes her to a club Stain. According to This Day in Danzig, he played there once. That we will link.
Kelly is the coolest of, I'm just going to say, Kelly for president now, then, now, and forever. Like Kelly recently, it says when they first met her, she seems kind of cranky. And then it says it's because a friend had called Kelly to tell her she'd seen Kelly's boyfriend of 6 months dancing down with some blonde at a club the previous night. And Kelly says, "I've been formally dissed, but I'm better now."
I really like Kelly.
I like Kelly with the short hair. I like mm-hmm. that Kelly takes them to cool places like Club Stain. And if you do look up Kelly's CV, as I did, because I'm shameless, she is the sassiest girl in America. Like, Kelly goes on to be she just keeps being cool all the way, mm-hmm. all the way through. Way to go, Kelly. You're my president.
Mm-hmm.
The weird thing about me about Kelly is that they make mention of a vegetarian Whopper, and this is like 1989 or 1990 when they visit. So mm-hmm. what exactly is a vegetarian Whopper at that point in time? Is it just like the meat fell out, I think?
That would be my guess, that it's everything you get on a Whopper minus the actual burger patty.
Right. Also, I found the other day, Pam, have you ever heard of McDonald's Hula Burger?
No. Was it pineapple?
Back when Ray Kroc was still alive. You know, Ray Kroc, the guy who took somebody else's idea and made it into McDonald's.
mm-hmm.
Apparently, every one of his original ideas were total bombs. Among them was the Hula Burger, which was debuted at the same time as the fish filet. And this was mm-hmm. like Ray Kroc's like, "We got to get them Catholics, those fucking Catholics that don't eat fucking burgers on Lent. God damn them." They had the fish filet and the Hula Burger. And the Hula Burger was like a canned slice of pineapple as a hamburger patty.
With cheese on it.
With cheese on it.
Ew.
Profile nobody wanted.
Mm-mm. So
that was the closest thing we had to a vegetarian burger before, I would say, the late 90s.
Yeah.
Before, like, they came in for a hot second and they're like, nope, bad idea. And then we wait another 10 years and then finally everybody's caught up again.
Yeah.
So I think vegetarian Whopper in the context of this story is lift the meat out, put it on another burger.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever ordered the vegetarian Whopper, their friend got a double patty.
Well, I would say, I mean, the whole thing of Burger King, and I certainly never worked there, so I can't say how accurate it was their whole thing was have it your way.
Mm-hmm.
And the marketing was everything is made fresh only when you come in and order it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having it your way is all of the toppings, lettuce, tomato, cheese, onion, etc.
Sure.
Which maybe never touched a burger. Why am I apologizing for Burger King? I have no idea. Anyway.
Yeah, maybe she's a pescatarian. mm-hmm. Well, I will say that what's they often talk about what their applications were that got them into this sassy finalist status. And Kelly sounds pretty cool because she said she was cracking eggs and thought, hey, something could be done with this carton. And the rest of the stuff in her entry was just stuff in her room. She stayed until 5 in the morning typing and watching 120 minutes on MTV. I love Kevin Steele. Anyway, Kelly for president. I don't want to say that she's not going to win, but like at this point while reading this, I was like, well, she's going to win. And I had seen the cover. I completely forgotten I was just like, Kelly's got this in the bag. So Kelly's entry was called 30 Windows into My Silly Subconscious. And it's an industrial-sized egg carton, each cup filled with an item that symbolizes a part of her, accompanied by written explanations. Cup number 10, for example, has some fake pearls glued into it. And the write-up says, tacky faux pearls. I'm not liking them. I'm angered by imitators. Mom says it's flattery. Bull.
For president.
I'm sure Sunita did something cool.
Since you brought it up, they do talk about their entries because they were, it was very, you know, we did it last for the first Sassiest Girl in America where it was just a questionnaire. And this time it was like, make something that reflects you. And there were size parameters. But other than that, it was just like, basically impress us with your creativity, essentially. But then all we see of their entries are like the size of a postage stamp on the page. Like you see them in their little, there's a little fourplex on whatever their page with where we see their big hero image. And the images of their entries are so teeny tiny. It's really kind of a bummer that you don't see them in more detail because they do sound very cool. But, you know, missed opportunity. Next. Gina Marie DiGiovanni lives in a teeny tiny town in Wisconsin. She is a doctor now. I found her. One of the claims to fame of her teeny tiny town is the Wisconsin cow chip throw. Still going strong. I found the website for it. Still happening. We'll link it in the show notes in case you want to make a pilgrimage to Prairie du Sac, Wisconsin.
Do you wear gloves? Do you gloves when you cow chip throw?
I would hope.
What year did they introduce gloves? Because you know it didn't start that way.
One of her quirky facts is that she collects vintage hats and she's wearing one in her big portrait on this page. And I want to support, but it does not fit her. Like she has a huge amount of curly hair and this is like barely perched upon it. Not, and we see her again later in the article, which we'll get to. But, you know, it's great to wear vintage clothing. Put that shit in a ponytail if you're going to try and do this. That's all I'll say, because it looks like it's about to fly off.
Gina is a bit of a hat on a hat. She's a hat on a hat. Like, she's got so much going on that at a certain point, I was like, she's the busiest girl in America. But First of all, the family has an adopted sibling, which was already enough to be like sassy. Mm-hmm. But then I think Gina's got a lot of money. So, you know, minus points. Sassy. But anyway, Gina collects these hats. The ceiling of her bedroom is decorated with 10 decks of playing cards. She wrote to the Pope when she was 8 to protest his policies regarding women's rights. She's searching for an unabridged copy of Arabian Nights, actually likes to wade hip deep in bogs, adores Rudolph Valentino in silent movies, plays the violin and tap dances, doesn't wear jeans ever. At what point did Gina lose you? Because at some point,
yeah,
you were like, she's the co. Oh, no. Straight A student, yearbook book editor, and first non-senior to be elected student body president at Edgewood High School in nearby Madison, Wisconsin, and she wants to be a brain surgeon. Mm-hmm. She's too sassy.
Right toward the end of her write-up, Karen writes, quirky enough for you? Like, yes! Calm down, Gina Marie. You're doing a lot, and in a very 16-year-old way, so I'm sure that she settled down into just 3 or 4 quirks, but like...
Maybe she's being ratatouille'd.
Maybe. That's why the hat doesn't fit. Mm-hmm. That's a great, great theory, Dave.
Just in case you're thinking, why are you guys being like this to Gina? Mm-hmm. She even addresses this of like, sometimes people act like this is me and this is who I am. But I like, you know, I can be like a whole bunch of different people. That's fine. But then she says, I get worried because freedom of thought isn't in the First Amendment. And then she writes this other thing that says, my dream tattoo is a piece of food at the corner of my mouth that people always try to wipe off. And at that point, I was like, Gina probably took this from someone. There's just too much going on.
It's true. Yeah, she's a magpie of quirk. So I'm not thrilled with how this comes out. I mean, spoiler. But anyway, let's do the last one. Kathy Davies. I found her on Flickr. There's not a lot there. However, we do find out from that she ended up being a photographer and a software developer. And in light of that, what we learn about her submission, which is like, it's a big box, a styrofoam box, that's her art represents the two sides of her brains, like in conflict. And so I thought that was kind of interesting, given where her career ended up taking her later.
Do you think her photo looks like a haunted Kelly from 90210?
Yeah. She does look very deer in the headlights in this portrait. So we can gloss through the judging because we've kind of already tipped that Gina Marie is the one who ends up winning.
Ugh.
They go for dinner at the Cowgirl Hall of Fame in New York. It's now just called Cowgirl. And when I looked it up, Dave, I'm pretty sure we've been there. It's in like the around, it's near the UCB, I believe.
Mm. Doesn't ring a bell.
They also went to the Groucho Club in London when Gina wins. She brings her mother and her sister. That is also still open. I've never been to London. Sounds like they wasted 4 days there being real basic. Like, we saw it from the back of a bus or on the top of a bus. Like, just every day you took a bus tour? Okay. I don't know. She was not my favorite. I agree with Pam that Kelly seemed like the obvious coolest one. And Gina was just very self-consciously trying to be her idea of the sassiest girl in America. And it worked. So who am I to judge, I guess?
It's just that, like, Gina, I'm sure you're great. But she has a name like someone who beat you at something. Everything. Just everything. Gina Marie DiGiovanni. No, I thought I was going to be student body president finally because I was a senior and I worked it. But no, Gina Marie DiGiovanni. Everybody's like, that girl takes your prom date. That girl takes a yearbook editor. That girl just takes and takes. She takes Gina Marie DiGiovanni and then puts a hat on it at the end, like, this whole thing. I don't know why I'm hating on Gina so much, but I do know, which is, you know what you did, Gina Marie DiGiovanni, in your big house. That's so upsetting. It's so upsetting. All the other stories are just these girls like, well, and I tried real hard and my family fought like racism and oppression. She's just like, I bought a hat.
Yeah. Gina's is like, her house is so big, we thought it was a hotel. Like, Pam's not wrong. Like, they do have money. I mean, who knows how much it costs to buy a huge house in a town of 16,000 or whatever it is. But whatever. Congratulations to Gina.
When Gina goes in for her interview, almost immediately we hear hysterical laughing echoing from the judging room. She does this great impersonation of a skink lizard, Mary tells me later between bouts of leftover hysterics. What? Gina Marie DiGiovanni and her skink lizard impression should not beat Kelly for president.
Well, moving on to the bummer feature we all knew was coming. Diary of a Marriage by Catherine. And the story on the first two pages is, I'm going to say, illustrated with a birth certificate and a marriage certificate, which includes a lot of highly personal information, like people's full first names and birth dates. Like, I'm surprised we don't learn her social security number from this. Maybe they did dummy it up and, like, some stuff was changed. But it's a wild, wild choice to open that. But anyway, this is the story of Jewel, who got pregnant when she was very young, married her child's father, and divorced him by the time she was 17. And the story is told in reverse, which is...
Wait, the baby goes back in at some point?
Pardon?
The baby goes back in at some point?
Yes. The baby does go back in.
See you later, guys.
Yeah. This was not the time.
It's cold out here. No, 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 no.
In reverse order. At the beginning, I was like, this is a little much. And by the end, I was like, actually, this kind of works. I thought it was sort of interesting.
It made me get confused going backwards because I was like, you know, it felt like, I mean, they should have gotten divorced. He sounds like she was in danger. And so once I knew she was in danger, it was really hard to go back and, like, as you kept reading, being like, but it was sweet at one point. Like, she was in danger.
Yeah.
Over. It was very hard to root for because at one point it's like, but they were so in love. And you're like, well.
Yeah. But I think that's part of the point, too, where it's like every one of these stories is like that. Like, people don't generally get together unless there's something there.
It's a sad story. Don't get pregnant.
God, it is. Yeah. Quote, abortion and adoption, once she gets pregnant, aren't even considered. She's starting to see this baby as a way to get out of a home where parents sleep in separate rooms and never talk to each other and kids are always getting whipped. This is every teen mom character's origin story, unfortunately. Like, it's just such a drag how much these narratives don't change because we hate women in this country / world.
Let's focus on some dude defects. That's where we're whiplashing over to. The 7 deadly dude defects. Number one, doesn't seem to be gets you pregnant and then hits you. I'm sorry. Why isn't that number one? That's what we just learned. Anyway, instead, Kim France gives us a confusing offense rating that is...
Okay. Yes. Yeah. She has it as a forgiveness rating. So like 5 is the most forgivable down to 1. Whereas I feel like it should be an offense rating 1 to 5, right? You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, or at least call it something else of like 7 ways. But even on the cover, it says like 7 ways to control a boyfriend, which also isn't what's happening in this article. It must have started differently and turned into a forgiveness thing.
I guess. But the other thing is, like, I know why it's 7 defects, because like 7 deadly dude sins is essentially like what the rubric is, obviously. And if that's the case, why not just rank them? Instead of having this 5-to-1 meter, like, just go from least to most offensive, 1 to 7.
Yeah. And then you could do the seven sexy sweetheart sins or something, like, at least.
Sure. Yes.
Like, you don't have 7 deadly dude defects.
I know you just explained the forgiveness rating, but I'm looking at it and I'm already reconfused.
Right.
There's a forgiveness rating for one of them for 1.
Yes.
Which means it's... Mm-hmm. Very forgivable?
No.
Or it's the least forgivable because it has low...
Yeah, 1 is out. Right. 1's that's the worst. Dumb.
Yeah. I feel dumber for having read this article.
We didn't say. This is by Kim France. She is newly arrived. This is her first byline. And we love Kim. Kim just got married.
It's the new math. It's the fucking new math.
Yes, it is.
It's right. Common core due defects.
Kim just got married last weekend. Congratulations to Kim and her new husband, Paul. But there's a lot of editing issues on this where it just could have been tighter. There's no reason that it needed to be this convoluted. I will also say anything where it's like you're fighting because your boyfriend doesn't want to go to your friend's piano recital. Don't ask him. No one wants to go to your best friend's piano recital. That's not something worth fighting about ever.
Yeah, so these are things like, you know, stuff that you complain about to other friends, but probably to him, too. He chooses skateboarding or playing football or practicing with his band over being with me. He always forgets my birthday. That's pretty rough. That's a pretty quite forgivable offense. They label this one. He always forgets my birthday or gives me something I wouldn't wear in daylight. These are 2 different problems. These are 2 different defects. He talks about other girls whom he thinks are cool or pretty, making me feel like a big, fat, ugly blob. He doesn't talk about his feelings for me, so I guess he doesn't have any. When we're alone together, he's my devoted slave. Get him in a room with a few of his pals, and I might as well be invisible. He wants me to be interested in everything he's interested in, but I hate Nintendo. He's always late or forgets to call me. The one that they're like, this is terrible, is he's always late or forgets to call me. This is the one where they're like, unforgivable. He's always late.
Yeah.
No, he always forgets my birthday, or he makes me feel invisible, or he always chooses someone else. Just, he's late. Oh, dump that dick.
Okay, but like also on always forgets my birthday, like, are you dating this guy for multiple birthdays? Like, especially if that's the case, it's really bad, unless it's just a situation where it's like, whenever he's reading my horoscope, he's like, when's your birthday again? We're just like... really different.
Well, they've been friends for a long time. That's why they've been for. I mean, if it went well, like, this is a boyfriend that she's had for so long. Right. Otherwise, how has he also given her so many gifts she hates?
Right, right. The story has problems. It's a good idea, poorly executed, I think. Also, Jim, get over yourself. How excited is your girlfriend supposed to be about your new guitar slide? Equal time for the girlfriend telling us how often she has to sit there watching him play it. Feature number 4, Beauty Pageants Are a Lot Like the Army by Christina. And this seemed like there were 2 reporting stories that neither one amounted to enough on its own. And so they decided to combine them in a way that sort of makes sense and sort of doesn't really. So we have various categories in which Christina draws parallels between the military and beauty pageants. They're both stressful. They're both sexist. They brainwash you. They encourage conformity, kind of the same thing. You do it because you want money for college. It's humiliating. Ultimately, my read on this is, like, I disagree with the premise on a basic level, which is military service is about breaking down individuality for troop cohesions. Beauty pageants do not prize deviation from prevailing beauty norms, but it is about standing out in whatever limited way you can. And the violence against the bodies of people in the military and people in beauty pageants is really the main issue here, and it's enacted in totally opposite ways, overt versus covert. But I don't know how much we want to go through all of this. She talks about the in the first section was stressful, that she learns that the military issue glasses that soldiers get are called birth control glasses or BCGs. And when I Googled it, there's so much coverage of the BCG culture. Apparently, they upgraded them. They smartened them up in 2012. We'll link to some of these stories because there's like a brief history of the military's unsightly birth control glasses. Five struggles those who wore them will remember. And then the first shopping results for birth control glasses army were ones I definitely want myself. Like giant Iris Apfel type glasses, which are not exactly like the ones you see in the real articles about them. But yeah, birth control glasses, real thing. Very funny detail that I never would have known if not for this article. So worth reading for that reason alone.
Yeah. These are very popular glasses for women of a certain age these days because they hide triangle of sadness, as Sean Hader calls her spot in the middle between her eyebrows.
Yeah, guess what? I'm that age. We also find out that all of the beauty pageant content that is reported here was based on Jane having judged a unnamed national teen beauty pageant before this article came out. It was Miss Teen USA, and we watched it for a Sassy Watch Along last year. So we will link that in the show notes. The entire broadcast, including the commercials, is on YouTube, and that was a good time.
Our fiction this issue is from Karen. It's called 10-4 Good Buddy, and I hope you like learning about trucks and boys and strangers. This is a story about what if it's a damsel in distress, you're stranded on the side of the road, your name is Toby because you got a good boy girl name of the early 90s, and you and your sister are in a car and trouble happens, and luckily a man just pulls over and is going to help you out, and his cute son is in the truck too, and that and love will blossom. It's so good. It's so perfect.
We previously talked about another Karen written fiction story back in the May 1989 issue. That was the one where she dyes her hair and everyone's like, wow, your hair is different. And that's kind of the entire story. Same character. It's Toby. Toby is back and is having a new adventure in a truck this time.
All right. Franchise.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Toby cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. This was deader than the last one. It's still just kind of only fine, I think.
It's mostly about Toby finding herself so deeply, deeply in crush with someone. They're in a truck of a man whose name they never bothered to ask. And then they're just going what seems like a very long time together. And then at the end, it's like, I'll just jump in this car with him some more. These days, the way that we're just trained to read these things, it does sound like at the very end, this is going to be the beginning of the true crime podcast that we're listening about, listening to about Toby. Uh-huh. Missing because her sister didn't stop her at the end. Because the last thing she does is like remove the weapon she's been holding the whole time and give it to her sister and be like, I'm off to get into a car with two strangers. See you later. But she's all right, I guess. It's a happy ending, but it doesn't feel like it in today's times.
Nope. She is good at making the guy seem very crush-worthy, though.
It feels like they just rewrote Any Which Way You Can, except instead of an orangutan, it's the little boy.
She says he has lips the color of the inside of a bunny's ears. Like, that's, it's good. Like, it's great. It's like,
It's evocative.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, thank you. That's the word.
Mm-hmm. Dave doesn't get it.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you don't get it, Dave.
City folk like Dave don't get it.
You don't have to be lonely at bunnyearfuckers.com.
One of the things she says is that her sister puts on the Smiths, which isn't nearly as singable as The Cure. And I don't really, you know, I'm not a Smiths person, but they are famously singable. You don't even have to know a word. You can just Morrissey around in the shower.
Does anyone know if this conditioner is empty? I've got a bit of tangles in my hair. And the water is cold. Moving on to body talk.
Body talk. Generic drugs is our first item. Kim France is writing body talk here as well. And she's warning us, there's a hot debate over how effective generic drugs really are. The active ingredients are the same, but other elements could alter effectiveness. Guys, if you're going to suck the pharmaceutical industry's dick like this, at least make them buy some ads.
The pills, they're made from monkey cum. Kids on a whole new, too.
That's right. Next, taking risks. If you have friends who are always taking risks, like shoplifting or driving really fast, it could be that they have lower than usual levels of the brain chemicals that control arousal and excitement. So they do crazy stuff to bring the level of the chemicals up. Researchers hope to develop a drug to keep this weird condition in check. Wow. They did. Everyone got hooked on Adderall, and then it ran out. We're still in an Adderall shortage in our timeline.
I can't decide whether the use of the phrase brain chemicals sounds more like a 50s... science classroom film,
yes,
or like the opening to Powerpuff Girls. Thanks to powerful brain chemicals, Professor X made three little superhero girls.
Mm-hmm.
Another good reason to exercise, since body heat speeds up the growth of your hair, it grows slower in winter than summer, except if you regularly work up a sweat, in which case your follicles will always think it's July. Now, that's one way to approach it. My approach would be, what about doing the opposite? What if you stay inside, you don't exercise, you just sit on the couch, and therefore you save money on haircuts? I'm working smarter, not harder.
That's another stuff Dave wrote.
Yeah.
I'll put it in a purple font in all caps.
I don't really have much to add about AIDS cases among teens, except don't put blush pink text on top of an out-of-focus yellow pill, Cheryl.
This is the bokeh that killed at least two teens because they didn't get important information about AIDS. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Oops.
Over on page 69, noice, we have what he said, of course. Who is your fantasy woman? But this month's special guest, Chris Connolly. Everybody's favorite Chris Connolly, MTV newsworthy newsman.
Sure, that's just not a Mike Myers character.
You don't know Chris Connolly.
Look, MTV is a giant blind spot for Canadians because we didn't.
For the 50th time, we didn't have MTV.
I understand, but like Chris Connolly didn't just go away.
We watched MTV Spring Break 89 for Extra Hot Great over the weekend, and yeah. I didn't know who anybody was. Brian Bob Robbins?
He was just, Chris, he was from Head of the Class.
There
he's a bajillionaire now.
Somebody
he
you mentioned already.
Television.
Kevin Seal.
Mm-hmm. Some other guy that kept on flubbing his lines. Maybe it was Kevin Seal. I don't know. Mm-hmm. The whole lot of them were terrible.
Oh, yeah.
MTV in the 80s apparently was just like first take. Like, I don't know where they got these people, but everybody was super bad, super unpolished, but not like in a raw rock and roll kind of way. And really like, oh, get your taco out of the fryer kind of way.
You're going to be able to hear us talk about this on Extra Hot Great, our sister podcast, in the first week of May. But I will just say this, what we watched is like a cut together special presentation of like a whole weekend's worth of, or probably a week of Spring Break stuff. And that was like the tightest that they got it. All of the times they cut back to Ken Ober like hitchhiking and flubbing his lines as well. Like, yeah. Ooh, brutal. But anyway, back to Chris Connolly, Pam's friend.
That's what I was about to say, Dave. Chris Connolly knows who you are. And I know this because a month ago when I was doing things that were outside, I was on the carpet at the Independent Spirit Awards when someone was like, oh, ABC would like to talk to you, which nobody's ever said that. And then there was a guy going, Pamela Ribbon, it's Chris Connolly. And I was like, Chris Connolly, what are you doing? And he was like, oh, I want to talk to you about, you know, my year of dicks. But first, can we talk about Television Without Pity and how important that was? And I was like, oh, my gosh, we're going all the way back to Tubi. And he said, you know, that it affected journalism. It affected the way that we write about television, the way that we think about TV. Like, what is it like to come from that? And I had my mind absolutely blown because I remember being 15 and reading Chris Connolly's Fantasy Woman article. You know what I mean? Like, This is why Dave, where I'm like, but Chris, he's still around. He's still reporting. He's wearing dapper suits. He's very nice. And I hope to collaborate with him on a oral history of television without pity that he can make. It was so strange to have the TV talking to me in a way that was like, that was a moment where it was like, oh, I am in a time capsule portal machine, and I'm yes. talking to Chris Connolly about Television Without Pity while I'm going to go home and record Listen to Sassy while I'm promoting My Year of Dicks. It was just so surreal that I loved it. Anyway, he's very nice. He's on Instagram at Chris Connolly. When I told him that we were going to be taping this, he sent me a picture of a stack of all of his sassies. So a true fan, still here. Anyway, Chris Connolly's a fantasy woman. He answers. At the time, he was the host of The Big Picture. Anyway, she'd be fun, socially aware, intelligent, romantic, a dancing fool, and, well, sassy. Sort of a cross between Winnie Mandela, Winona Ryder's character in Heathers, and Jane Pratt. Fortunately, I met such a woman a while back, and amazingly enough, she agreed to marry me. And then Chris mentioned that this little yay ended at the end was by, quote, the great Karen Catchpole. So, you know, I just love it. Like, everybody's still, the sassy era really brought a lot of us together in a way that it is exactly like you hoped, as we've all grown up and seen. So, yep. Anyway, Billy, 19, has says his girlfriend is also his perfect one. She's beautiful, sweet, and sensitive, and she's the only one I want. But I looked at Billy's picture, and I'm all, how you doing? I know you have a girlfriend, but Sir William, I am into this headshot. This man is Cobra Kai, and I just want to know, what's he up to?
Well, he's an electronics major, so he's making robot ninjas now.
At Luzerne County Community College. I went looking. I didn't find him.
He looks like a hot Anthony Edwards, if you can imagine that. Right?
Yeah. There's my type right there. Yes.
Tony Eds, they call him.
Hot dogs.
Help!
Girl.
Help, item number one. Scared of tampons. Ooh. That was Eric Stoltz. Eric Stoltz and tampons. The terror makers. My problem is that I want to use tampons, but I'm scared to. Understandable. Do they hurt when you put them in? What kind should I use? Signed, confused and uncertain. So the answer is blah, blah, blah. Basically, the answer is make sure to pivot. Pivot. Number two is I'm short. I'm crazy short. I'm 5 foot even and 17 years old. Everyone, including my sister, is so much taller than me. How can I grow? Oh. The answer is you can't.
No.
Enjoy the weather down there.
Yeah. Stand on a couple of candy apples.
Diet pills. I'm overweight and I want to lose 20 pounds, but I have poor self-control. Are diet pills a good idea? Are they healthy and do they work? And one of the answers is... For one thing, they're made of chemicals, which is just like the most 5G MAGA line in Sassy that I've read in a while.
Yeah.
Those fucking brain chemicals from Professor X back in the 50s when he was making Powerpuff Girls left and right. And now today's girls, all they want to do is diet, diet, diet.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real grab bag in help this one.
Yeah, I want to hearken back to the clip that you used to open the episode where it tells us that Dexatrim is made with the ingredient doctors recommend. Mm-hmm. They don't say what that is, just the ingredient.
Yeah.
It's the thing.
It's brain chemicals to help you along.
Yeah.
Speaking of pivoting, over the weekend I was in Texas talking to young people who are fighting to change things within their own school districts, particularly with all of the even more attempted bans and silencing and shame and on the internet and books. But one of the things that I learned about were young people are trying to get tampons and menstrual products in all of their bathrooms because they are not offered in every public school bathroom in Texas. And a lot of girls are having to supply their own, girls and people who have periods are having to supply their own or go ask the nurse to get an old pad, like an old gross pad. And no one should have to miss class at all to take care of themselves. So I've put in here first period pals out of Austin, just so that Tara can start. That's an Instagram, the.periodpals. This is an Austin-based organization fighting to end period poverty and stigma in our community. Look in your neighborhood. There is definitely a period movement. Please volunteer to sponsor a basket at your local public school. I mean, junior high. I mean, 10-year-olds get periods and no one should have to miss class or act like they've got something wrong with them and need a nurse. Like, don't fill out a nurse report. Just have everything where you need it to be. Please help end the stigma and shame of having to pivot a period.
I saw a little library, you know, the little libraries for the books that people put in the front yards. Except one was all hygiene products.
Hey, that's great.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was in front of a school, too.
Awesome.
This month's It Happened to Me from Jennifer, 19, is written as if it's still happening to her. She was in a hospital waiting room last year when California's quake struck and her father was on the operating table. And she clearly is not over it. Jennifer had some traumas.
Yeah.
And she just wrote it all in one take, and that's what they printed.
Yeah.
It is difficult. You can get a little lost in this story.
Yeah, we hear about someone else in the waiting room who, she says, was having his finger operated on. We hear about the simpleness of her husband's surgery. Baby deliveries were being performed. There are more efficient ways to say all of these things. Real light touch on the editing this month. No one wanted to get in the way of Jennifer and her dramatic story.
We let him in and entered ourselves. I had to read so many times. We let him in and entered ourselves. I was like, we did what?
Sounds like, yeah, somebody's discovering Jesus. That's what that is. Praise him.
This is my pap smear nightmare. This is where every time I'm at the gynecologist, I'm always like, well, here comes the earthquake.
Oh my God.
And now the only, it's like, wow. Oh my God. I'm just so terrified that this is when it'll happen. Not even when I'm like, at least her dad has no recollection. Like her dad was under. He kind of remembers me being like, earthquake. But like when you're very awake and they're like, this might hurt a bit. And then it's all, no, I don't want to be cervixed. I don't want a cervix section. Like, I don't want any of it. And then the only thing that would make a pap smear more uncomfortable for me is while the earthquake is happening, it's in the other place where I am sure we'll have an earthquake. And it's not just the lava tubes of Hawaii, as you two have experienced in real time. It is the aquarium tubes that we walk through these days. Like, that's fine in earthquake locations where I will die in an earthquake of a shark bite. And I know it. I know it.
Okay, but Pam, on the plus side, if you went for a mammogram, you would just be like, you wouldn't move anywhere. You would just be like, you're.
Oh, God, you'd be flung around that machine. Oh, my God, Dave. You want someone to think about Dave? That's the worst.
Yeah, that's unpleasant.
Oh, just flung around.
All the other doctors are all getting flung around the room. You're just like, ah. Stay here.
It's like in the CG animated episode of The Simpsons from Treehouse of Horror where Homer's face gets sucked down into the vortex, except that's your boob.
Yeah.
My tits would just snap off. Oh.
Listen to Sassy turn into a body horror podcast so gradually nobody noticed. Honestly, this sounds like it happened to my dad.
Honestly, you're not wrong.
I mean, this is a proxy story.
Yep.
But she says, this horrifying experience taught me that just one thing can offset humanity and reminded me that we aren't in as much control as we'd like to think. The steps we take to prepare for the effects of an earthquake are minute compared to the destruction it can cause. I'm sure we'll once again witness the World Series.
I thought I'd get through it.
I'm sure we'll once again witness the World Series, but next time we'll hold our breath just before game 3.
Oh, boy.
I really would like to look up whether that happened in, like, Cleveland or something where there would never be an earthquake.
What if every time there was a World Series, their dad had to go in for another piece of major surgery? I was like, oh, here we go again.
Well.
Tsunami.
Jennifer Hyatt, because we learn your last name here. I hope everything worked out okay. And I'm sorry, it sounded very stressful.
Now time for Stuff You Wrote.
Yeah.
Stuff You Wrote for Sassy.
Yep.
Stuff You Wrote, item number one. From C. Lettieri. Lettieri. And she writes, whether the sale lady squints at you and says, are you sure you mean just one A? or your mother keeps handing you utility models that don't have sizes, most of us just wish we can go unleashed. I think this is about bras.
Yeah.
And I still don't understand how bra sizes work, even though it was explained to me. The information has dropped out of my skull. Mm. So one A is a certain size, but if you add more A's, the size goes down?
Like with batteries. It's like how AAA batteries are smaller than AA batteries, Dave.
Oh, all right. So a double D is smaller than a D?
That is only with A's.
Consistency.
Yeah, the double D is the double D is much bigger.
Double D is a vanity size because it really should be E, you know? Like there's no double C. All of the D's plus are
this
just
fucking Calvin ball.
It is. It totally is. You're not wrong.
Calvin boob.
It is Calvin boob. All of those are, I'm sure, because of like mainstream bra sizes where they're like, we just want you to be able to buy these at Victoria's Secret or
Give
Sears.
Me designations that go from itty bitty titty committee to Hugh Tonkers. Go.
Well,
do it. Triple A.
Like the letters go all the way up, like past K.
Come on. You can't even explain it that way. We're done here. No more boobs. No more boob talk. No more boobs on this writer.
You brought it up. And furthermore,
if the writer is a Dr. O. Oh my God, this lady's unleashed.
Dr. O will smother us all.
Yeah. I'll just say if people are asking you at the bra store,
drunk Congress people.
If people are saying you could be possibly a double A, don't wear a bra. You can just go unleashed. Who cares? Your boobs are small. Enjoy your life.
I don't think you guys know bra sizes either, frankly.
Do you want me to explain it to you
again? I do. No. Yeah, we can, again.
I gave you the opportunity. You're like, no, it doesn't work that way. I was like, how does it work? And you're like, it's unknowable.
We said,
it is the exact quote is what you said is unknowable.
It does vary immensely from manufacturer to manufacturer. But basically, the cup size is determined by measuring around the nipple all the way around the back. And then
like,
the number,
I know you're saying stuff, but all I'm seeing is the Bart Simpson. I'm drinking plenty of malt with vitamin
H.
R.
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing.
H. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Youngwomenshealth.org says H is the largest.
That's
chest
not
range
true.
Sizes. Chest. I mean, I think you can get higher than I feel like I've seen
I
an
can
I
tell
or J.
you, I can go get one.
Well, right. And also, I remember my pregnancy boobs. People were pretending to use them as parachutes. And go, wee!
All right, moving on. Enough boob talk.
Will someone please explain to me why Cher can dance around in an outfit that left her nearly nude to the MTV Video Awards, but we aren't allowed to wear ripped jeans to school? Signed, Katie Bishop Hawkeye. It's Hawkeye.
Yeah.
All right. That's it.
All right. Jillian Saharias wrote in something called Different Perspective, and I cannot read it. I must sing it in the style of which it was clearly written. An Edie Brickell song. I think the sky is a giant blue ball with mashed potatoes to fill it. And a single fried egg is sunny side up, the yellow yolk fresh off the skillet. I think the moon is a pale balloon that somehow's flown up so high. And when it deflates, it's blown up again by Zeus, the god of the sky. I think the flowers are beautiful jewels and the grass a decorative lace that belongs to a queen who likes to wear green to frame a delicate face. I think the earth is a speck of dust in the massive universe, and the oceans and seas are invisible drops in which microscopic people commerce. I'm Jillian Saharas from Iowa City, Iowa.
And she's still writing and thinking about the planet, but these days with a doctorate. That's Dr. Hey. Jillian Saharas.
Miller to you. Yes, writing, some more medically type wisdom these days about hazardous chemicals and saving the planet. Clearly quite a brain. Way to go, Jillian.
Finally, if everyone is so concerned about flag burning, why don't they just make flame retardant flags, writes Heather Kane of Phoenix, Arizona. Yep. And this is not exactly the same thing, but it definitely reminded me of the Mr. Show sketch in which David Cross, as performance artist Spank, tries to desecrate the flag by pooping on it and then discovers that he can't. And I won't ruin the rest because I'm going to link the video in the show notes because it's pretty funny. Next time, we will be talking about the pop culture topics of the February 1990 issue Australia's own Michael Hutchence's side project gets a positive review from you'll never guess who. Mike recovers from his Scrooge routine long enough to tell us about why we should listen to rap. We're going to have some strong words for a rave for The War of the Roses and more. For my plug this week, we all know the Drew Barrymore Show, the craziest daytime show there is, hosted by our own generational queen, Drew Barrymore herself. I interviewed the co-head writer of the show, Christina Kynan. That is up at Cracked, and we'll link it in the show notes.
For my plug this week, at swear2care.com, that's swear, the number 2care.com, you can join the pledge to promise if, to help be an, either an ally or an advocate for mental health in public schools and young people's educations. They are a tiny group starting out of Katy, Texas, but I think they're going to take over. They've recently been recognized by Texas legislation. Please go over there and sign the petition, Swear to Care.
All right. So AAA, A, B. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Seven. C, D, E, that's G, J, and Awooga.
That's right.
That's number Wang.
720 Sassy Go is the place to call to leave a note about the things in your life and the friends in your life and if you're on a boat. You can call us at listentosassy.com and leave us a message. Shit, that's going to be hard to rhyme with. And that's a bit of a blessage.
I should never. I'm not an improv singer.
A blessed.
It's so hard. How do people do that?
A blessed sounds like something like, you know, when a priest does something wrong, and he got boils after.
Yes.
You're like, oh, that's a blessed.
We're having Kevin deliver the blessed, so be prompt.
Blessed for dinner again? What? Yeah, it's a word. It's like Smurf now. You just use it. Blessed.
On a blessed occasion.